Welcome to the first edition of Tokyo Elevator. Welcome aboard. This is a show comprising video game music, and it's our take on some of our favourites and some of the best stuff out there. My name's Stephen Pearce. I'm the editorial director of the site, and with me we've got Brett Elston.
Hello. I'm the Nintendo editor at Games Radar. Probably say I listen to more video game music than regular music. So,
and we've also got Joe McNeely.
Hi, it's Joe McNeely, producer extraordinaire.
Producer extraordinaire. So I guess we should kick off with the first track. What is it, Brett?
Well, the first song is "You're Not Here" from Silent Hill 3.
Okay, so what was that again, Brett? That was something from Silent Hill 3, was
Silent
it?
Hill 3.
You are not here.
You are not here. I quite like the note, the line in there that sticks with me is, "Who has time for tears?"
Yes.
It's really quite moving. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know.
It really speaks to the emotional resonation of the Silent Hill series. You know, it's all about unrequited love.
Well, the game's like a... It's playing this music while it's like showing scenes of this 14-year-old girl walking around a mall made of skin and monsters with no face trying to eat her. It's just like...
It's beautiful. It's quite beautiful. Yeah, I don't know. Sounded a bit sort of like a bit of Texas. You know the band Texas from the UK? Bangkok, Texas, mixed with a bit of the long blondes. It sounds almost, I don't know, I could imagine it's sort of vaguely Christian rockish, that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know. It's all right.
Next thing you know, she's imploring you to give yourself to Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. What's next, Brett?
Next is something much more recent. Is from one of the Crackdown trailers, although having beat the game, I don't recall actually seeing this music in the game anywhere.
So that was from Crackdown, and you know, I can really just see dudes jumping in the air, shooting off their rocket launchers. When I listen to that track, that's exactly what comes into my mind.
See, it doesn't for me. I see, I like the sitar. I like the sort of sitar-y noise going on. I like the dark electro, vaguely sort of drum and bass. But I don't know, it's either the soundtrack to Driving in the Rain, you've just been dumped by your girlfriend, you're miserable, you're
that's
taking a long drive. Yeah, but or possibly like a you know ever see Rocky III where it's like he's driving around, I think it's Rocky III or Rocky IV, where he's got loads of money, he's driving around his Lamborghini and flashbacks from his life are going on and there's this sort of rock track. I can see it that, so it's either sort of Rocky soundtrack or possibly you've just been dumped and you're angry and you're taking your aggression out on the road. That's how it works for me.
But you're still getting aggression though.
Huh?
Could you possibly have a rocket on top of the car?
Well, perhaps. I guess I'm just trying to take it out of the game context and put it into my life.
Sure. I hear like 90s anime movie trailer or like a PlayStation 1 demo disc.
Yeah,
totally.
That's showing like here's the cool new games coming to your
place. I think it's quite modern. I mean, it's got it sort of feels a bit like some recent sort of electro tracks and whatnot. It feels very credible. Who's it by?
There's no information.
We just saw it in the trailer, and we said, that is so good, we have to rip it and put it on our show.
So if you made this, good job.
Let us know.
I liked it, though. It had you know, it sounded a bit like had echoes of Fotex Seven Samurai, that kind of stuff. Have you heard that?
Did you know Seven Samurai came out in 1954? The same year as the original Godzilla movie.
What's next?
Kurosawa and Godzilla.
Yeah.
Why didn't Kurosawa make a Godzilla movie?
That
would have been epic.
Or what's next?
Toshiro Mifune just cut that fool's neck open.
Oh my god. What's the next trap, Brett?
Next is going back about 11 years to the very first Loaded. Actually, there's only two. So, Loaded from PlayStation 1.
We'll be right back. So, gentlemen, what do we make of that one?
Well, it plays nicely against the Crackdown track. It's sort of a spiritual precursor, I think. You know, very similar themes, similar moods evoked by the two tracks.
Mood evoking.
To me, it's I hear that music and it's completely freshman year of high school. That's all I can think.
Yeah, it sounds very old school. There's something of the Knight Rider about it to me. You know, it sort of sounds a bit. Again, maybe I'm just obsessed with car scenes in TV and movies, but. It does sound like sort of incidental music from Knight Rider a bit going on.
You know that car's on up for auction? They're auctioning off the actual kit car.
Are they?
Yeah. It's like a little piece of my childhood gone.
But there's a guy called Kavinsky at the moment who's a musician on the label Ed Banger. But all his music sounds like that at the moment. It's like brand new and very sort of quite forward. Well, forward and backward in a way because it's nicking from the 80s, but it sounds very much like that. But it's very epic. It's also got that layers thing, you know, sort of like every 16 bars they just throw a new noise in kind of thing.
Yeah.
How long is that track going for?
It's about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. That's probably long enough. What's next?
Yeah, that's basically it. But the whole game is just running around corridors, shooting repeatedly, so repetitive music kind of fits the repetitive gameplay. Next would be from Tekken 3 from Namco. It would be Heihachi Mishima.
For me, that was funky and flared. It was wearing platform shoes. It's music to Kung Fu too. What are you saying, Brett?
Heihachi actually wears platform shoes.
Well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so you're on the money there.
All right.
I just love the siren in the background.
Police sirens in the background of songs are rarely a bad thing, are they? I think there's something about that that's pretty cool. Joe, anything to add?
Well, I thought it started off strong with those kind of hard, in-your-face industrial sounds. Then I thought it fell off a little bit, sort of fell into this generic standard instrumentation with this kind of cheesy electric guitar. I wasn't really feeling that one as much as I was feeling the previous tracks.
So I'm kind of really into the idea. See, it's partly why we're doing this show, is this idea of can game music stand on its own? I know I'm on the fence with this one. I'd very much like it to be, but I know that Brett, you're fully in. You'd listen to this on your iPod, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, it's
for
my
pleasure.
iPod. It's on my iPod, and when I worked at Toys R Us many years ago, I had several CDs, racks of CDs, I would pull out and listen to while unloading a truck, while checking in games, while doing whatever, of all video game music.
Mm.
And what people would constantly complain.
What about you, Joe? Would you listen to this on your CD, on your iPod?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely do.
You
know, I appreciate the whole range of it, from the original kind of 8-bit stuff where it really, I think, could become music instead of just sound effects.
Mm.
You know, then of course there was this huge breakthrough when they started putting games on CDs.
You could
actually put, you know, a track that sounds like that Silent Hill 3 track
in a game
instead of just, music. Sort of glitchy 8-bit stuff on a cartridge.
Which is my favorite thing in the world.
But some of that stuff is, I think, it's art in its own right.
But there's clearly a stigma, possibly embodied slightly by myself, against, you know, music that's... Do you think that game music will become as culturally valid or it accepted as maybe film soundtracks have done? Or is game music there already, you think?
I think there's definitely room for it to be accepted like that, just because you look at all these people that I thought I'd be very alone on this, but then after the internet got so big that anyone in the world can talk to anyone else, that there's so many themes and tunes from, like, Zelda, Mario, Metroid, Zelda, Mega Man, Castlevania, like these themes that people end up remixing on piano and violin, getting whole bands together, entire concerts arranged around it. It's like,
sure, the Final Fantasy concerts sell out
Final
every stop.
Final Fantasy concerts go
but
nuts.
Even aside from that, though, you know, aside from the sort of remix underground that's grown around this music, you also see it turning up as sampled in hip hop songs.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
Mm. And I think it's becoming very mainstream. And I think a lot of it is, like you were saying, due to the fact that the internet has allowed this sort of niche of people to realize that they're not alone in their love for this kind of music.
Well said, Joe.
Thanks,
what's next, Brett?
We're going to keep with Tekken, but switch games. This is Tekken Tag Tournament, and this is the introduction music. It's much shorter and to the point.
Couldn't dance to that.
It's only a minute and a half.
I know it's only a minute and a half, but I'm getting old, so a minute and a half lengthwise is probably about right for me to be exerting. So lengthwise it's fine. I found its rhythms a bit erratic, a bit staccato. I was generally just on my chair here trying to weave and bob to it, but I failed, and I just felt...
But do you think you could fight to it? Could you fight in a lush environment?
I could watch intro FMVs to that, yeah.
I could verbally spar to it. I'm not sure I particularly want to get involved in physicality, but...
That I could stare wistfully out of a raining window and kind of...
Really?
Yeah, I could...
Is that a staring?
I could ponder into nothingness. that song.
You could ponder to that track. It's too frantic, sure.
Yeah, I thought it was too in your face for pondering.
But to me, it's the airy techno sound, like the... Like everything is just this like airy wispy noise.
You ponder about superheroes.
I think about, God, I wish I was Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's good for imagining you're a superhero. I don't know. Other than that, for me, useless. I give it a 4 out of 10. What do you reckon?
Damn.
I give it a 5.
You give me a 5?
I give it like 6 or 7.
Okay.
I enjoy it. It's not like the hardest thing in the world, but...
What's up next?
Oh, this is from F-Zero GX.
My favorite.
Which was one of my favorites.
This is going to kick you in the face.
This is going to kick you in your faces nuts.
In both of my faces. Oh dear.
I loved the beginning. The beginning to me was, it was magic. It was impossibly complex geometric shapes rolling across an ever-evolving neon landscape.
Oh,
I thought it was beautiful.
Until the vocal sample kicked in. And then I just went, oh, this is crap. This is like 8 a.m. after being up all night at a rave.
See, this for me is like, it hits every weird note that I love about really cheesy techno. It's got the happy hardcore, like 120 BPMs. Kind of thing, super cheesy. There was a piano in there for no real reason, and then the unintelligible lyrics that don't say anything. Like, I've listened to it over and over trying to figure out what he's saying, and I hear the word sun, and that's it. And I love words that I can tell their words, and I can't hear them. And the fact that this is music to a doctor. It's a doctor racer, and this is his theme music. He's a doctor.
I could barely hate it more. it's the sound, the so it evokes memories of my youth spent in northern English nightclubs drinking very cheap drinks, trying to cop off with anybody who'd have me at the end of the night. It's diabolical in every way. It's just horrible. It's full on cheesiest possible rave music.
That's why I love it.
And yeah,
I acknowledge the cheese, but oh man.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're taking the 8-bit interlude.
Ah, time for the 8-bit.
Furious Bee's 8-bit interlude.
The 8-bit interlude. What have you got this week, Furious Bee?
I did not name myself. It happened. Solstice.
what was that one called again, Brett?
It's called Title Screen. It's from the game Solstice. Tim Fallon made a bunch of NES music like that and Super NES music. So there's, you can tell it's him, a specific dude, just because of the way it sounds.
Next on the playlist.
It's the first of our remixes of, instead of playing the actual old video game music, it's modern remixes of, and this is it's from Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is a Sega Genesis game. This is actually from, the remixer name is Jive Master, and the game was originally on the Genesis.
Certainly frantic.
It's a little too happy hardcore for my taste.
Yeah.
Sounds like sort of a bit like a children's theme tune, but I was sort of thinking it's like, if you imagine like some kind of European advert music for like, I'd imagine like selling cheese,
yeah,
or some, with some animated cheese man jumping around going, buy cheese in Danish or something. Yeah, it's just
right.
Like really,
yeah.
Really sort of twee and very, I don't know, very poppy. Why do you think that the remixes, like, this is a modern remix of an old track?
Yeah, it's maybe a couple of years
Right, but the sound that he's sort of taken there to emphasise it's still very much a sort of happy, hardcore, ravey kind of sound.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Is there not like a more contemporary take, you know? Because obviously, Electro's been
quite... Well, because that game's not the most well-known thing. It's not like it's been remixed a lot. That's probably the only remix there is. And right. It's just kind of like whatever that particular remixer thinks, how they want to express that song. Like, there's... Any given one Mega Man song probably has a rock version, a saxophone, a piano, a violin, like 10 different versions of the same thing. But this is just, it's happy puzzle game music. It's like it's like a Tetris kind of game, basically. And you're moving pieces and sending shit over the other guy's side. And
fitting blocks of cheese into a perfect square.
Yeah, and so forth.
That's entertainment right there.
Yeah. Next is another remix. This most people might recognize, Super Mario World.
Well, I thought that was kind of like sort of 70s prog rock mixed with a bit of electronica. It was telling a story. I felt like I went on a journey. there was a lot going on.
It did sound like a film trailer, you know. To me, it was like, oh my God, it's this film trailer that you're watching, and there's this stuff going on, and can you believe this decision this guy's going to have to make? And then,
but it's Mario jumping on turtles.
Yeah,
I liked it. I thought much more than the sort of more rated the 90s or late 80s, 90s ravey stuff. Yeah, I like that. I thought it was pretty cool. Got shades of Jan Hammer. I don't know if you remember the old Jan Hammer. He was the guy, the soundtrack for Miami Vice.
Oh.
But it started off a bit like that, and then got quite heavy, and then the organs came in, guitars came in. They threw everything at that thing, didn't they?
They did.
Sounds to me like Linkin Park Halloween album.
Mm.
That happens.
I like it. I just, like I said, just as we were listening to the track there, I was saying that, you know, I just imagine like 4 or 5 piece German serious group of middle aged men playing very serious progressive electronic rock. You know, it's sort of, it's a serious piece. It should be. We should doff our hats to it, I think.
The artist on that name was Zircon, and he's also from both. The previous two remixes and then the next one are all from the website ocremix.org. Next is a particularly weird and unique remix from a game that nobody remixes because the music's pretty crap. It's called The Boy and His Blob, where you feed jelly beans to a blob.
God, what, Brett? I'm just going to ask you this as a direct question,
yeah.
But on what occasion in life,
right,
in your life,
right,
would it be deemed appropriate to play that record? I mean, it's not going to work like before dinner, you know, as a relaxant. It's not going to work, you know, certainly during dinner as atmospheric music. It's not going to work after dinner. It wouldn't work in a club. I mean, where does it fit into a...
I don't know, because I actually don't like that song. But when I listened to it the first time, I just appreciated the fact that he would try to do that.
Mm. Yes, you must admire the force of his convictions.
Yeah, to make a song. And the guy, Maze Dude, typically makes really good mixes anyway, so when you hear that he made something that was intentionally supposed to sound bad, I listen to it like it's on my rotation always, and when it comes up, I don't skip it just because it's like, oh right, God, I hate this.
It's a difficult piece. It's a challenging work. That's for sure.
I appreciate his experimental outlook.
Yeah,
but I gotta agree. Stephen, I don't know when I would ever put that on.
I accidentally put it on. Yeah. Okay.
The next is one more remix, which isn't really a remix because it's an actual band. A real band with people playing this. This would be the ending music from Chrono Trigger, also from ocremix.org. The original artist was Yasunori Mitsuda, and this is from Chrono Trigger. Thank you.
Those soaring guitar scales set my spirit free.
Did they
possibly made me want to purchase a cell phone.
Right.
Well, the ending of the game is riding around on balloons, so they are being set free.
I thought it had two sides. It was like, is it the black and white cookie out of Seinfeld, or like an Oreo, in the respect that there's the two sides, the light and the dark side. And the start was quite relaxed and very, you know, sitting by a lake, perhaps holding the hand of your sweetheart, sharing, I don't know, some cookies or something.
Sort of a nice way to go out.
And then of course it kicks off, you know, with the dark, perhaps a darker side. But even then I couldn't get like 80s Rat Pack movies out of my head. You know, it felt like the sort of music as they all sort of make up or go their separate ways at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
it's an Elmo's fire or something like that.
It's an ending. It's the ending music.
It is
the
ending. Yeah.
It's a large cast that's been together for the past 50 hours, and now they're all going their separate ways.
It's
heartbreaking.
Beautiful. I found it deeply inoffensive. So I mean, if that's.
I think it's, you know, it's a testament though to the you know, people are always talking about, oh, can games make people cry? Or, do games contain emotional content?
This show could make me cry.
And I think, you know, the fact that they're employing the same sort of musical techniques that they do in film and television to. Elicit an emotional response in the player of the game.
Did it work? Did you finish that game, Brett?
Oh, yeah.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry.
Didn't work then, did it?
I highly enjoyed it. But I like the music enough to download every remix version I've ever heard.
Right.
So
it works in a different way. On a lighter note.
I've kept it with me forever.
Oh, Brett, stop. Click, seriously, stop.
Stop.
What? What's next on the playlist? Is this the final track?
This is the final track. Not intentionally, they just kind of ended up that way. It's called...
What's it called?
Oh, it's called Dracula's Tears.
Quite liked it.
It's very loungy.
It's
yeah.
good. I was actually envisaging walking around a supermarket. Do you call them supermarkets? Just with a trolley, buying things. You know, it was going, you know, ham on sale in aisle 3 kind of thing. Yeah, quite light, relaxing, but you know, I liked it.
You didn't feel like you were getting off an elevator in Tokyo and you walked into a lounge where Dracula was crying and a zombie was being murdered?
Not so much, no, as I said,
more of a supermarket.
But you know, I think it was quite good. I think much more listenable than some of the stuff we had on earlier.
Was that the original track or was that a remix?
That's the original track from Dawn of Sorrow.
Alright, well, does that about wrap it up, gentlemen?
I think that's all I've got
for this edition of the Mighty Tokyo Elevator.
That's all we've got for today.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed, we all hope you enjoyed the show. what there was of it, send us some feedback, get on the forum and tell us how useless we are, and if anybody listens to this, then we'll do another one.